You're listening to Vatican Radio. What does God require of us? That challenging question from the Old Testament book of the prophet Micah is the central theme of this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which runs from Friday, January the 18th, for 8 days until January the 25th. Daily reflections, prayers, and practical questions for this annual event have been put together this year by members of the Student Christian Movement of India, with a strong focus on working together for justice for India's most marginalised people, the Dalit community.
This is the very essence that actually goes out to the grassroots, that actually resounds in the parishes. What is God expecting from us? What are we supposed to do? Is there anything we can do? Can we go a little bit more forward in working together?
Anna-Marie Meyer is a theology professor at Freiburg University and a consultant to the World Council of Churches, which, together with the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, helps promote the Week of Prayer in countries throughout the world. Anne-Marie spoke with me about this year's theme and about her role as Catholic consultant to the Geneva-based World Council of Churches.
This position was instituted in 1984. It is located with the Commission for World Mission and Evangelism. So there are two commissions where the Catholic Church is full member. Most people know the Commission on Faith and Order, where we have 12 representatives, 10% of the overall commissioners are Catholics. And there, since 1968, the Catholic Church is a full member and sends these 12 commissioners.
As a direct result of the Second Vatican Council.
Exactly. And so there, the Catholic Church, as the Catholic Church, is a member. Now, in this other commission on mission and evangelism, well, in ecumenical contexts at the World Council, you don't say evangelization, that's the Catholic term, but evangelism. There, the roots of this are going back to the 1910 World Missionary Conference in Edinburgh. And in those times, it were the mission societies, the Protestant mission societies, who were the thriving force behind that. So in analogy to their membership in this commission, on the Catholic side, it's not the Catholic Church as such, but it's missionary orders who form part of this commission. They are called affiliated bodies, like other mission societies worldwide and of different churches. So presently, 4 Catholic orders, missionary orders, are members of this commission.
Which ones are they?
For instance, the Society of the Divine Word and the Missionaries of Africa, or the Marist family, and the Missionaries of Our Lady of the Apostles, so that's a female order. I was told that in former times also, for instance, the Jesuits were part of this affiliated bodies. So actually speaking in terms of theological disciplines, you could more or less say that faith and order, that's more or less systematic theology, dogmatics, fundamental theology, the doctrinal issues are treated over there. And with the World Mission and Evangelism Commission, it's more practical theology. How do you translate the gospel into today's world so that it is heard? Things like that. So it's a different approach.
Tell us a little bit about the actual work that you're doing. What is your role there?
Well, actually, it's a twofold role. First of all, I'm just a colleague among all the other colleagues working on this mission and evangelism desk. So I'm just helping with whatever is the set agenda of the WCC in this field. That's one role. But the major role actually is rather a pontifical one, because it's the bridge building in the literal sense of the word between Geneva and Rome. So my task is to keep the two cities, places, talking to each other, to sort of negotiate between the two, to get in touch with people on both sides and see what are the items on their agendas, what are their concerns, the things they would like to achieve, and so on. So just to facilitate communication, I think that's the main point how I see my role there. Every year, it's especially the Commission on Faith and Order who helps in preparing this week of prayer for Christian unity. And this is already a long-standing tradition, and it's a very appreciated tradition in the WCC, because it also gives a value to the prayer traditions and to the spirituality of ecumenism that is lived out there. So it's input from the different sides, actually, and different spiritualities coming together.
And it's very much reflected in a local context, isn't it?
It is. And actually, in the World Council of Churches, of course, we are praying along with the local congregations in the chapel there in the World Council of Churches, and especially marking also the end. So there isn't just a celebration in St. Paul outside the walls, but there is simultaneously a celebration in Geneva in the chapel of the World Council of Churches. But you see, I think it's not just, or the intriguing bit about this prayer for Christian unity is that it's not a thing that stays within these institutions that are responsible for keeping up ecumenical relations, but this is the very essence that actually goes out to the grassroots, that actually resounds in the parishes and the congregations, and that people are looking forward every year already. And also they are discussing the theme. I mean, what is God expecting from us? What are we supposed to do? Is there anything we can do? Can we go a little bit more forward in working together without giving up our reservations or going beyond the problems which we haven't dealt with yet?
So it's a particularly challenging theme for this year.
It is, I think so, yes. And actually it's challenging not just reflection on the content of ecumenism and what it is about, but also mainly on the practice. What can we do? And I think that's the essence of it, because if you can't put it into practice, what you are supposed to do in your spiritual life, then things are really getting difficult.
My thanks there to Anna-Marie Meyer, Catholic consultant to the Geneva-based World Council of Churches.